this morning we have Thomas McCann. He's a member of the Irish Traveller Community. He's a long-time traveller activist. He's a founding member of the Irish Travelling Movement, where he's also employed as an equality worker and a director. Now, Thomas, we should have you on the line. Are you there?
I am, yeah, Liam, yeah.
Good morning, welcome to the show.
Just to say, I'm the director of the Traveller Council Service. I'm no longer with the Irish Traveller Movement.
So I see. Okay, thanks for correcting me there. Apologies.
Thanks very much.
No problem. So, can you tell us a little bit about the Traveller Counselling Service?
The Traveller Counselling Service is in existence just a little over 10 years. Mm-hmm. It was kind of, you know, as you say, I was part of the Irish Traveller Movement for many years, for 12 mm-hmm. years, I think. And from that, I went on to train as a psychotherapist. And during my training, because I was in contact with a lot of local traveller groups, the whole issue of mental health was beginning to become more chronic, really, you know. And so people was asking me, was there anything there for travellers? And so I invited a number of traveller groups to come together. And so out of that, a discussion took place, and for over maybe a year and a half, 2 years. And that's how the Traveller Council Service came about. And really, it was to provide culturally inclusive counselling and psychotherapy specifically for the travel community.
It's fantastic. I mean, it's such a huge topic now at the moment, a very, very point.
Yeah, since then it has become a crisis, you know. I mean, like, it had been rising for the last 15 years, maybe 20 years, but really kind of wasn't engaged with. And, you know, I think mental health has always been put out in the periphery, not just around travellers, but around.
I think in Irish society, men don't talk about their feelings and so on, and you know, it's kind of a hidden thing. So it's great that it's coming out throughout Irish society, but
yeah,
definitely.
Traditionally, even if you look at where kind of, you know, mental health facilities was placed, it was usually out around the bend, and that's where the term it comes from. Somebody said to me once, around the bend, because it used to be outside of the town, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it really, and then around funding as well, if you look at it, you know. So now what we're dealing with in the travel community is a mental health crisis, really.
Okay.
You know,
and would you say that's maybe because you know, this, I don't know whether now this is the way, but I would associate possibly that in the Irish travelling community, that, you know, the men would be a bit more like the older Irish way, you know, like where they, you know, the manliness is something that they have to keep guarded as such, you know.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. However, I think it affects the whole community. I mean, the whole community is affected because, like, you're right. I mean, men are probably less open to talking about their feelings. Now, luckily enough, in the Traveller Counselling Service, since we started, we've had a large number of traveller men engage with us, you know, and still
brilliant.
Do. Like, always, it's always around one third. And if you want to look at our website, we collect the statistics from all the councillors that we have, a number of councillors in different areas, local areas with the traveller community. And, like, it's always been, like, around a third of our clients has been traveller men. So we've always had a large engagement with traveller men. But it's an issue that is affecting the whole community, you know, women and younger people as well, you know. And unfortunately, for younger people, we only see people over 18, apart from, we have a partnership with the Clanwilliam Institute that see families, and they see people under 18. But apart from that, there's nothing for younger travellers, really, you know. Not for travellers under 18, and that's a huge gap that we're very aware of, but we're very under resourced and kind of, you know, trying to struggle with what we have already, you know.
Well, you know yourself, the teenage years of any human being on the planet are always a dangerous time and a very, very hard time for communication, you know. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And if there's nothing there, you know, particularly. Mm-hmm. And a lot of younger people might be struggling with, you know, kind of whether it's identity issues, whether it's, you know, a whole range of different issues, you know, including the exclusion and the discrimination that they might meet, or that they might even expect to meet and kind of might stop them. Mm-hmm. All of that stuff, you know. So that's an area that we're very conscious of that needs to be kind of addressed, you know.
Oh, of course. And you know, I mean, How do you find that, you know, from the travelling community? How do they still feel that there's a lot of discrimination or racism towards the travelling community in your
discussion? Absolutely. It's you know, kind of, we had a conference yesterday in Dublin Castle looking at the impact of interfamily conflict, mm-hmm. you know, kind of in the travel community on traveller mental health, you know, and kind of... and looking at the factors that contribute to that. And certainly one of the factors, one of the major factors, has been both the historical exclusion and discrimination, but also that continues today. And there's quite a lot of it. I mean, there were studies carried out in 2017 by the Community Foundation that found like over 40% of travellers who were surveyed in that study. That was a national study carried out by Behaviour and Attitudes felt that they were discriminated against by services, you know.
Right, okay.
So it's there, and you can, like, if you go out yourself, if you talk to any of the travellers on the ground, it's a regular experience, you know. So that's still there, and it's still, but there's a historical aspect to that as well, that mm-hmm. exclusion, and so people kind of expect to meet that as well, you know. So there's apprehension before impact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how they're going to be engaged with. So there can be that anxiety about going into a place because you're expecting to meet that, you know, as well. So there's a lot of barriers there. But one of the main things, and it's been called for, and was called for in the Vision for Change, which was the government's policy in mental health, really, was the need for culturally inclusive mental health services.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 11 years ago. And unfortunately, that hasn't really materialized in terms of, you know, there has been a review of the Vision for Change, but that really hasn't, that aspect, that recommendation in it has never been really addressed, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's very important for it to be addressed, absolutely.
Yeah, and not just for travellers. I mean, like, when you look at the diversity in Irish society at the minute, like, around 14% of the population is of non-Irish origin, and that's, mm-hmm. you know, like, that's a lot of different cultural backgrounds,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and, you know, kind of... And so I think there's a real need for culturally inclusive services generally.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely,
but particularly in this case, the mental health services, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the other factor then is that travellers are invisible in the system, you know. There's no ethnic identifier, so it's very hard to establish if travellers are using the service or not, because some services would say, well, we don't differentiate between travellers and settled people. There's no ethnic identifier, so we can't say, it's not about identifying the individual,
mm-hmm.
it's about saying how many people are in the local areas using the service, you know, what issues they're coming with, you know,
of course,
and then planning the services around that. So it's very difficult to ask people to plan the services. Like, a lot of the statistics we have, unless we go out or get some organisation like Behaviour and Attitudes or someone else to do it, it's anecdotal and that's from people within the services, you know.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah.
So difficult to establish.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And would you say that's got to do with, obviously, with the factor of having address, you know, and like, you know, with settled people, there's an address, so there the numbers can be counted, but therefore, you know, if it's in a different situation, it's hard to find out who's in that local vicinity.
No, I think it's more to do with the denial around traveller ethnicity and traveller culture that's gone on for generations. And mm-hmm. it was only in 2017 that the state acknowledged travellers as an ethnic group.
Wow.
So that denial of culture and identity, and when people are invisible in the system, it's very hard to establish their rights or even to plan services around communities.
Of course.
You know?
I didn't know that. I didn't know it was only 2 years. And
That's 2017,
wow.
the state, you know. And so there's been a historical kind of denial of traveller ethnicity and culture, mm-hmm. and that's caused all kinds of problems, including mental health problems particularly, I think, for younger travellers who might have an identity crisis, as I said, around, you know, the whole denial of culture that
mm-hmm.
Travellers were seen as a subculture of poverty. In some ways, failed settled people, you know,
mm-hmm.
That it wasn't a valid culture and identity in its own right, which, you know,
which it is, 100%.
As time goes on, more and more evidence is coming out that, like, it has a long history, you mm-hmm, know, a long mm-hmm. Kind of ancestry. And that denial is part of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think, on some services' parts, there's a fear that by by having an ethnic identifier, that in some ways they're kind of discriminating, that if they treat everybody the same, they're kind of, you know, they're more equal. That's not the fact, because there's cultural blindness in that, and that's what that does, is it makes certain groups invisible.
Well, you think knowledge is key there, really, isn't it?
It is, you know, and I think, I know Pavi Pint has done a lot of work around the ethnic identifier and that, and is trying to support organisations to do that. And I think really, and how the questions are asked are really important, because if people feel they're targeted, particularly people who have a long experience of being excluded, they're going to say, well, hang on a minute, I don't want to be, you know, because it's self-identification if you're asking somebody, whereas if it's a general thing about ethnic minorities, if it's kind of, you know, which ethnic minority background are you coming from, that's different, you know. People feel, well, it's not me only, it's not me as a traveller who's been kind of targeted out here, it's across the board. So I think it's important that the services learn how to, because I think a lot of services might be uncomfortable asking the questions, you know.
Yeah,
I think it's really important that we can get the figures, you know.
Absolutely, no, absolutely. And how do you feel? What's the goal of the counselling service in on the whole?
Yeah, but the goal of the counselling service is to kind of that culturally inclusive counselling and psychotherapy is available to travellers, but others as well. I think that, you know, and also that people can access that, because usually, you know, the route that traditionally that people would have gone down is a medical route, really, you know, in terms of medication. And there's an over-prescription of medication in the travel community, huge over-prescription in terms of particular conditions, anxiety, depression, you know.
Okay.
And there needs to be an alternative choices to that, because not everybody needs to, I think maybe some people might need medication to stabilize them, and I'm not anti-medication, but there needs to be an alternative choice to that in terms of therapy and talk therapies.
Group therapy, and
that hasn't been available to people. It hasn't been available to people, a lot of people in the settlement community.
Well, this is it, yeah.
Advantage people because of the cost of it. So it's making it available, making an alternative, culturally inclusive professional service available.
And is there an in-house thing that could be organised, either, you know, for group therapy and stuff? I know some communities do it, you know, in around, like in different parts of the country as well, you know. Would that be possible for the travelling community to do, do you think?
It would. Group therapy, you know, kind of, and we've had a number of groups. Group therapy is different because the makeup of the community is different, you know. So we have to, that has to be done very, very sensitively, you know.
Okay.
Because, you know, kind of, this, and has to be done in a process. What works better, actually, is, and I know, is what's called psychoeducational groups rather than group therapy.
Yeah, so it's not knowledge
that
of,
word. Whereas group therapy come in and people talk about their experience and go deep into the, you know, into their own issues. Psychoeducational is kind of, it has an educational element initially. So you might come in and talk about an issue, which is, say, for instance, have a group that you're doing a session around, say, alcohol or drugs, you know, kind of, and the effects of that, and then engage the group in how that affects them.
Very good.
There's a cycle, it's not just the educational bit. People begin to talk about
there's a bit
how
of both,
it affects
yeah.
them in the group. And that seems to be, you know, from my own experience, a better approach at the minute. Now, you know, we've looked at group therapy as well, and I've worked as a group therapist, so we have a lot of experience in the team here. But that hasn't worked, because in a group therapy, some people want, you know, who's going to be in the group, and you can't kind of tell others who's going to be in the group before they come into it, you know. So there's a whole lot of different factors involved in setting up the group. So it's a little bit more difficult. That's not to rule it out down the road, though, you know.
Okay. And how do you find so far with your work in the counselling services? How do you find it's helping? Do you think it's working? Do you think it's have some sort of an impact?
I think it is. I think that a lot of people are engaging with it. Like we have a counsellor in Talla, we have a counsellor in Clondalkin, in Bray, you know, out in the Fingal area, we see people over in Phibsborough, and then we have, of course, we have the Clanwilliam. Also, other groups around the country have set up counselling, and we're trying to support them to establish counselling. In Offaly, for instance, they've established counselling. In Galway, they have a counselling service for travellers. in Meath were helping to establish a council service. They did have a council service down in Kerry, mm-hmm. and are trying to re-establish that. So around the country, that people have a choice, you know, and being used. But also, we provide counselling in Dokas, in the women's prison, and we do some groups with the men around mental health. We've just run a course in Arbor Hill. We developed a course with the men up there, traveller men in Arbor Hill, how do you maintain your mental health while you're in prison?
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is a little, is slightly different than, you know, if you're outside and you have all the freedoms and that. So a lot of work is going on in different areas, you know, that we're, and people are engaging with it, you know.
That's fantastic.
But I think some of the root causes need to be dealt with as well. I mm-hmm. think, you know, like unemployment. If you look at unemployment, it's nearly 90% among travellers, you know.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's just incredible.
That's tough. No, that's certainly, you know, tough, yeah.
Like, so, like, you're, you know, that's going to cause problems for people, you know, a lot of problems. You know, if you look at, and like, if you look at the conditions that people are living in, you know,
mm-hmm.
Out in the north side of Dublin, it'd be good for yourself. Yous are out in the north side, I think, aren't you?
We are, yeah. Yeah.
It'd be good to kind of go down to some of the sites and see the conditions, mm-hmm. the overcrowding, you know, and then the lack of facilities and that people are, you know, that are working with, and kind of, and there's no new accommodation. I mean, a report came out from Dublin City about Dublin City Council around, you know, kind of traveller accommodation recently, mm-hmm. that the city is kind of can't. There's, you know, travellers has been waiting in these areas for generations for proper accommodation, and now it's really overcrowded, the places that they're living in. So some of the conditions that travellers live in, and then, of course, the exclusion needs to be addressed, you know.
Absolutely. Well, I think in what you're doing and talking, you know, like obviously counselling, yes, aside, but also talking and getting a community, any community, be a traveller or not, if you have a community talking, then usually things seem to get done, you know. And I think it's inspiring. I think it's absolutely inspiring that what you're doing, like the counselling, the travelling community, and actually getting the voice heard, you know, and getting people talking about what's going on and their own issues, you know. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, well, I think that's the way, you know. It has to be like mm-hmm. local people engaged in it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of looking at what the needs is, and I suppose our role is to support both the individuals and families and communities to kind of to engage and to bring about the changes they want to bring about, whether that's a personal change in their own life or a change in the community. And I think that's the key, you know. But as I said, you know, we need support to do that. We need mm-hmm. it needs to be done in partnership with you know, because a lot of the agencies I know want to create a better services. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, so it's kind of we need kind of political action as well to kind of move change the situation that we're in.
And Thomas, can you give us a bit of information before we go there on the counselling services? Like, I believe it's on websites and phone numbers and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
we have www.travellercounselling.ie.
Okay.
So it's an easy one to remember, and you know, and people can contact us, and also you for groups and that they can have a look at us. Our travellers who's listening in, you know, kind of the team is on. We have the team of people so people know who they're going to see as well. You know, that kind of way.
Absolutely. Okay.
So there's a bit of it, but there's also a lot of statistics. We put all the figures up there that we get every year. We collate all the figures and we put them up there, and so people can have a look at that.
So that's www.counsellingservices.ie.
Traveller counselling.
Traveller counselling. Sorry, excuse me. Brilliant. Travellingcounselling.ie. And is there a phone number anybody can contact if they want to get involved in
the travelling? Yeah, you can call us on 868.
Yeah.
5761.
That's brilliant. 5761. So that's 868-5761. Thomas, we're going to have to let you go now, unfortunately. It's been fantastic having you on the show. Thank you so much for having a small chat with us about what's going on. And we'll definitely tie in with you again in a few months, maybe.
Okay, yeah, that'd be great. Thanks very much, Liam.
You're very welcome. Thomas, thanks so much. You're a gentleman for coming on to us and having a chat with us. Take care. Have a good day.
Okay, all the best.
Okay. And that there was Thomas McCann, and he is a counsellor for the Travelling Community Services, Counselling Services there. If you want to give them a call, the number is 868 8685761. That's 8685761. Or you can go onto their website there. It's www.travellingcounselling.ie. And if you'd like to contact the show, it's 867-1190 for any more information. I'd like to thank Thomas McCann there for talking to us.